As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Hello and welcome to Front and Nationwide. This is The Athletic's dedicated Blue Jackets podcast. Aaron Portzine here, Allison Lucan there.
Hello.
Allison, it's...
I'm Pepe.
Yeah.
Pepe.
Pepe, yeah. Well, it's July 14th as we record this.
Mm-hmm.
We're waiting for stuff to happen, Allison, and they're backloading a bit here. This is going to be... I just keep wondering what it's going to look like on August 1st and how many days there are going to be in the meantime when there's just everything happening, because it's going to be pretty intense here. The Blue Jackets, understandably, have been quite a bit muted here in the last week and a half. The passing of Matisse Kivlenieks a week ago Sunday. And they've kind of kept a low profile, but the hockey work has continued. Allison, Matisse's memorial service is Thursday, 10 a.m. Fans are asked to watch it via stream. The service is for family, friends, and invited guests, per the family's wishes. So streaming, I get the sense, tell me what you think. I feel like once... the memorial service has had the proper respects are paid, that people are going to feel a little bit better talking about hockey around here, including team personnel.
Yeah, I mean, not to be coarse about it, but this is part of why we as a society do these things, is it closes a chapter.
Yep.
And it allows to move on. Otherwise, it's always this, well, can we do it now? Can we do it now?
Right.
Can we do it now? So... you know, I think that it's okay for people to mourn, but also move on. And I think that Thursday will likely be that event that allows a door to open, if you will, more formally, because let's be real. I mean, there's still work being done. It has to be done because of what's happening this 100%. Time of year. So,
100%.
I mean, that doesn't mean that no one is sad or forgetting a player that was lost, but stuff's happening. It has to.
Yeah. His family is in town. They've been for a couple of days. The sense is they'll be returning to Latvia on Friday and that there will be services held there. The Blue Jackets on the down low did their amateur meetings last week. And this week, they've been focused in the early part on their expansion list. And let's start there, Allison, because that list is due Saturday at 5 p.m. And let's get to this part first, because this is kind of the only newsy part with it. There may be more news Saturday when they submit it. I suspect there will be. But goaltender-wise, many wondered in the wake of Kivlenyuk's loss, what do the Blue Jackets do? What can they do? Will the NHL go to Seattle, go to Columbus, and give them some sort of an exemption given this horrible circumstance? Well, it seems to be a bit of a moot point. Cam Johnson is a restricted free agent. Goalies are a little bit different than – they're a lot bit different in the expansion draft of skaters, defensemen, and forwards. So all the Blue Jackets have to do is extend a qualifying offer to Cam Johnson, and then their goaltending situation is right back to being perfect again. Korpisalo is protected. Elvis Merzlikins is exempt, so Seattle cannot take him. And Cam Johnson will be the goaltender exposed to the Kraken. So look in the coming days for the Blue Jackets to extend a qualifying offer to Cam Johnson. That's what that will mean. Where this gets really interesting, Allison, is at forward. And we've talked about this. The Blue Jackets have talked about this a ton. But it's getting to the point now where you got to make a decision. And I'm wondering what decision you would make. As it stands right now, I think most people expect the Blue Jackets to expose Eric Robinson and Kevin Stenlund. They both meet the requirements. That allows the Blue Jackets to protect their regular cluster of players. Your thoughts on that? There's also been some suspicion that they really don't want to lose Eric Robinson.
Right.
And so maybe they would dangle, as they said, you know, say a player had, I don't know, knee surgery, and he was going to miss the first portion of next season rehabbing from knee surgery. Just say that that happened. And maybe you would expose that player, thinking Seattle's not going to take a player who's going to miss half the season with the shoulder injury. So, shoulder injury, not knee injury. That's a hint that maybe Max Domi is dangled out there. Maybe Gustav Nyquist, who should be back to health this year, this coming season, is out there. Do you take that gamble to protect Eric Robinson, Allison, and expose either a Nyquist or a Domi? Or do you just say, you know what, screw it. If you want Robinson, take him. Third line guy.
Yeah, I mean, this is why this time of year is annoying to me. Because until we get the clear sign that the Blue Jackets are going to strip this down and rebuild from the foundation, it's kind of a crapshoot. Because the answer is always, it depends, right? So, short answer, I honestly don't have any issue exposing any of those four forwards, quite frankly. No problem with that. And, you know, I get that the debate narrows down to Stenlund and Robinson, but as you just quantified, with all due respect to the players, Columbus has a whole ton of bottom six forwards right now.
That's right.
And that's not what they need to be better. And so, you know, if you're Seattle, in my opinion, this is a place where position could come into sway, because obviously Stenlund's a center, whereas Robinson's a winger. But any of the four is fine. This team is most likely, even if this isn't a full-on rebuild, not going to be a hardcore contender next year. So these are not the kinds of decisions this organization was looking at when Vegas came on the scene. And I think they all could be assets to Seattle, depending on what they want their roster to look like and what they think their window is. That's where the age will come into play.
Right.
You know, and there's talk that GMs are having talks behind the scenes, and Seattle is talking to some teams and not. So maybe Yarmo has an inkling of that. I don't know. But any of these four can be exposed, and maybe I sound like an ass. Any of these four can go, and I think that the Blue Jackets' course is not going to be severely altered.
Yeah, that's fair. I just look at it. We know who Eric Robinson is, don't we?
We do.
Don't we? And isn't there an argument? Again, nothing against young Eric Robinson, because there are some attributes to his game you love, but he's never going to be a 28 or 24, 48, 72 guy, is he? Ever?
No.
So I can't imagine exposing Max Domi and protecting Eric Robinson. That seems a little crazy to me. I mean, this is asset management at the end of the day. And to your point about them not being a contender next year, this decision really to me isn't even about next year. I'm not looking at this as a lineup build for next year. This is asset management.
Yep.
And Domi's an RFA after next season. I don't know where it's going with him, but I'm damn sure he's better this coming season. I bet he has more points next season than he did this season, even though he's going to miss 2 or 3 months at the start. I think he's going to be better.
Totally agree. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I think there are things in Max Domi's game that will never be present in Eric Robinson's game. And I can't imagine making that decision I think Seattle snaps him up in a heartbeat if he's available. Domi?
Yeah, I could see that. And, you know, it's funny, you know, I do think, you know, Domi, and we saw this right there at the end too. I was the person out there saying, this is a guy who can create and complete all these dangerous passes. Yeah. And that finally started to happen at the end of last year.
It did.
So I don't disagree with you at all. I think that the asset management angle is a really strong point. And, you know, again, with all full marks to Eric Robinson, he's built a very nice career for himself. You know, there's a segment of the Blue Jackets fan community that likes to shit on Josh Anderson because he didn't go to Montreal and score a bazillion points. Eric Robinson is Josh Anderson. Like, they have some speed, but there's not a ton of finish there. There's some size, and you'd love to see Robinson maybe use that more. But this is when the best way to get out of a rebuild, if that's what this organization is going to do, is have the very best talent evaluation possible. It has to be on point. Because if you're going to strip it down, you have to build it back right, or you're stuck in unenviable situations. Some may point to a Buffalo or, you know, an Ottawa. And it doesn't mean you don't appreciate Eric Robinson, but you have to realize what he is.
Yeah. Now, if I thought Eric Robinson were anything like Josh Anderson, I would not expose him.
Yeah. Well, and I hate to say this, but he's a poor man's Josh Anderson, right? Like, I hate to be.
Yeah, I feel like we're killing
him. I feel bad. I know. I feel like a terrible person.
I think he is I think he's a destitute person's Josh Anderson.
Wow.
I just don't think I called him a third liner earlier. He's never even really been that here. Really?
Well, now we're being a little harsh.
Well, no, he's a fourth.
Now I feel bad.
No, he's been a fourth. He's been a fourth liner here.
I agree.
And at 26, listen, I'm not sure how much I love the chances.
He is who he is.
I believe to a point, but I also think there's a little something else that really intrigues the coaches here. That's the only reason they're even thinking about this. Yeah, it sounds like we're killing the kid, but this is the conversation that's being had about who you protect and why. I mean,
but to your point, to go back to the talent evaluation angle, you got plenty of Eric Robinsons. If we believe that Max Domi is a better player, and I agree with you, I think that he is, you don't have as many Max Domis.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would argue as well, you don't have as many Gustav Nyquist.
Correct.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah. Yes.
And if you don't have Eric Robinsons, you can find them.
That you already have a ton in your organization.
They're out there.
They are.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? I'm sure conversations are being had with Ron Francis and the Seattle Kraken.
Right.
Where are you looking? Where are you looking? What are you thinking?
Yeah.
And if it's clear to them that... You know, and then this is what happened last time. I don't know if you remember this, but I'd have to go back and look at the list that was made public. So Columbus made all those side deals with Vegas. We don't need to get into all of those. But once they had the deals, all of the side deals set, and they knew who Vegas was going to take, then the protected list becomes about public relations.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so they protected players. They protected players and they exposed players that they knew that it was a moot point who was on their list and who wasn't at that point. But I think they protected Jack Johnson to keep peace. This was a large part of the dressing room. So you're protecting this guy. People are like, what the hell? Well, the list that was submitted to the league was almost meaningless because they had already had a side deal with Vegas, and Vegas knew who they were taking, and Columbus was too. So now it's about the list that's going to become public. This has to align with how we look at our team and how people think we look at our team. So there's all that stuff that's going on too, where maybe Ron Francis has given the Blue Jackets some indication. Yes, we're very interested in Kukin. We'll be taking Dean Kukin. And then the Blue Jackets say, okay, well, it's easier to explain to Eric Robinson why we exposed him than it is to Max Domi, who we need to re-sign as an RFA next year. So here's our tidy little list as we want it to be seen, if that makes any sense.
It does. But again, this is where we just, I'm annoyed because yes, all of that is true. But like maybe Max Domi is part of a trade package that's coming down the way. We don't know.
Of course.
So,
and some guys get really worked up and hurt by this.
Right.
And some guys don't care.
Right.
It's like contract talk. Some guys just, they endure a bludgeoning and they're like, hey, that's the business. And other guys are like, I am never playing for this organization again. It's all how you handle it.
I think there's bigger ways that the organization could tackle that question than their protected list.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Now.
They seem to be confronting that.
Sorry.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I love Annoyed Allison on the podcast. Annoyed Allison might be my favorite Allison.
Oh, great. Perfect. Awesome.
Let's see. What really pisses you off?
Oh, Tony, you know what pisses me off. Don't start. It's no point in talking about those things right now. It's not that time of year.
No. God. Yeah. I mean,
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
So Allison, let's talk about this. This isn't even our trade to digest, but it's just so effing horrific. I feel the need to weigh in. What the hell's Ken Holland doing? What are you doing?
That's like one of those basic like negotiation 101 scenarios you hear in your negotiation class where like, okay, here's what you do. You start with your extreme knowing that there's no way the other side's going to agree. And the other side goes, yep. And you go, oh, great. Okay, great. Sign here quickly. Thanks. Oh. Goodbye.
Because, I mean, I'm thinking, you may have been too, like, boy, for Chicago to unload Duncan Keith, they're going to have to pick up a lot of, he doesn't have that much salary. It's more cap space, but they're going to have to take a number back.
Yes.
And they're going to have to sweeten it with a pick or a pretty good prospect or something to unload that aged, legendary, but aged defenseman. And then you go, wait a minute. Edmonton, oh my God. Chicago's not holding back any of the. And Edmonton threw a player, an interesting player, Caleb Jones in. What are they doing?
I know. I mean, and now I will say that those who have had more opportunity to watch Caleb play than I personally have, they're certainly not down on the player, but I think that myself personally, my perception of the player is a little higher than what I'm reading from our friends who watch the player much more closely. I'm not saying he's by any means bad, but just maybe there's a little bit lessening in my expectations. But, you know, there's a national hockey podcast and they were talking about this in their episode this week. And they were implying that, you know, Edmonton heard back how tough Duncan Keith was to play against in the bubble. I'm like, dude.
Right.
I mean, I know that the pandemic erased time. I still don't know what month it is. But like, folks, what are we talking about here? Like, I just,
Well, and obviously Duncan Keith is a
accomplished player.
Oh, and is
no question.
An incredibly smart, talented player. He's also 30, going to be 38 years old.
Right.
And so if he gets 4 months off and then plays, they played great in the bubble and they kicked Edmonton's ass, if you remember.
Right.
That's great. And look what happened in the next series when he really wasn't good at all.
Yes.
Right. He's 37 years old. There's a lot of tread off those tires. This is a human being.
And,
but the flip side is Caleb Jones just turned 24.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to believe that the trajectory is going sharply up here for this kid. And there's literally no way it's doing anything but going down for Duncan Keith.
Yes.
And this trade shocked me. But anyways, as it relates to the Blue Jackets.
Yes. Now I'm annoyed again.
Yes, of course, Allison. This means, I would guess at this point, Seth Jones is probably going through Fort Wayne right now, right? Already on his way to Chicago. This is what this
means. See, I hate this. Yeah. I hate this. Like, maybe, but like just because they're brought, like, I know two sisters who go to the same gym and they're friends with each other. They live together, but they don't want to work out together. Yeah. They don't go to the intention. Like, I get it. It's a cute little narrative. Maybe it's true.
Yeah.
But as far as I know, we've seen nowhere on record that Seth Jones' dream is to play on the same team as his brother in the NHL someday.
Correct.
Maybe it is. But like the way some people are reacting, it's not like this just like paved the freaking freeway
right
to the Blackhawks for Seth Jones.
And if you're the Blue Jackets, I love it if Caleb Jones wants to play with Seth Jones and vice versa.
Sure, sure.
Because now you've done half the deed, Mr. Bowman. Keep coming. You're not going to leave it there, are you? You're going to leave it there?
I know. It's so dumb, though.
I think Chicago has been a team on the list of obvious possible destinations for Jones.
Yes. Regardless of the Caleb move, in my opinion.
Correct.
That's why I'm annoyed by this Caleb narrative.
Correct. This would make it a neat little story. And in fact, Allison, there are two Blue Jackets who could end up partnered with their brothers this summer.
That's true. That is true.
Does that annoy? Does Nick Foligno going to Minnesota set off the same sort of annoyance?
No, because, I mean, honestly, he's at a different point in his career, in my opinion. See, and I haven't spoken with Nick Foligno, but I could also see Nick just the way that last year ended and, you know, with an injury and with him being so excited to play in Toronto. If that situation at all shakes out, I could see him being pulled to maybe go back to Toronto.
Hmm.
But that's a totally different scenario. I'm at the tail end here. Wouldn't it be cool to finish out my career with what is a good team, but also my brother? I think Seth Jones's decision-making point is a little different in terms of where he is and what he's looking for. That's just my two cents. Having talked to absolutely no one except myself.
Well, I mean, the Felinos have stated how much they'd love to play with each other at some point.
Well, yeah. And again, it's different though, right? Like,
yeah. 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 And one's the UFA.
Yes.
Right. I mean.
Yes.
So, and I don't think there's any chance Foligno ends up back in Toronto just because of their money situation. But.
Never say never. You never know.
No, but we. But yeah, Mitty's got some room now, Allison, after that.
They don't. But Yowza.
Yes. I remember.
That is some buyout hit right
there. Oh, my God. I mean, this year's going to be fine. The next 2 years are
next
gonna,
two.
Oh,
what is it? $14 million. It's insane.
It is.
In a flat cap world.
Come on. And now you can't trade it to Phoenix.
I know.
I mean, that's what you do. You trade that to Phoenix. Come on, Minnesota. You trade it to the Arizona Coyotes. That's what you do with those contracts. Or you get Columbus to take it. I think Columbus. I would not be surprised to see Columbus be a salary taker. In these next couple weeks. I think.
Oh, for sure.
I think this is the time
that
they often talk about. This is the most realistic it is.
Yep.
Because they're going to have room and they could really weaponize that space.
Yes.
So here's a couple of things that I've sort of heard in the Seth Jones chatter out there across the league.
Okay.
I, like many, have assumed that the Blue Jackets would be very interested in finding out which teams Seth Jones would be willing to sign with long term.
Yes.
And forego his UFA status next summer.
Correct.
So when Seth Jones said, I'm not going to sign with you, I want to pursue free agency instead, is that just a nice way of him saying, I wish to be elsewhere, or I want to, you know, is that the I want to see other people kind of thing, or does he have someone in mind? And it would behoove the Blue Jackets to know the places where he wants to, where he would consider signing long term, because the assumption is that they would get a much better return from a team that knows they can keep him long term. Makes perfect sense. I was told this week, though, that there are teams in the market for Jones that aren't, and this would be nice to live this way, but they're not even thinking about 2022-23. Mm-hmm. That this leads me to believe that it's Colorado, and there may be others, but they see a Seth Jones acquisition as reasonable. His salary hit 5.4, they can fit that. They see it as a trade deadline acquisition, but much earlier. In other words, they're not so worried about keeping him. They want him next year because that's when the golden window is open for them. Mm-hmm. And those teams in that sort of go for it mindset may be willing to pay a price that is closer to the teams who know they can extend him than many of us realize. Thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, my first thought is back to the original question of, is Seth Jones really just testing the market? I mean, I always think back to those players that we see sign in free agency who are UFAs and say, I'm going to go to the place I think is most likely where I can win a cup. And they rarely win the cup, right? So the betting on that for Jones, if he's going to sign next year, like the betting is quite risky, honestly. Mm-hmm. You don't know. I mean, no one thought the Blue Jackets would be where they're going to be next year, 2 years ago.
Yep.
So I don't mind him saying, I know places I think I like, but if I'm focused on winning, or even quite frankly, the state of the organization, it could be completely different in 2 years. So now the Blue Jackets, as you say, want to know, but you know, and I think you pointed this out in one of your most recent articles, you know, if a team is willing to pay top dollar for a David Savard or a Nick Foligno at the deadline,
yeah.
If they're that bullish now, you can still get a massive return.
That's right.
And why not? If that's where you think your organization's going to be, then go for it.
Yeah, and one other thing that bears mention here, and I don't think we've addressed this in the podcast. We had it in the Sunday notes a couple weeks ago. But the Matt – so let's go back to the Matt Duchene trade with Columbus, just as an example of this. They traded a first-round draft pick to Ottawa – along with a conditional first-round draft pick.
Yes.
Whereby if they signed Duchene to an extension, Ottawa kept the first-round draft pick. Got the next year's first-round pick as well. Columbus did not sign Duchene, as you all know. Didn't even attempt to, actually. And so they kept their first-round draft pick last season, who became Mr. Shinnokov. Those trades are no longer legal. So you can't trade a player and attach to it a condition if the team signs him to an extension. This was worked in the latest amendment to the CBA. I found that surprising. I've yet to hear an explanation as to why that's so important or why that's not legal anymore, but it's not. So the importance of Columbus knowing where Jones wants to be long-term, if there is such a place, would seem to be made larger by that. It's much more important to know that.
Yes.
But, you know, and this may be from people who are trying to tamp down the market, but again, there are those that suggest that there are also teams out there that really, really want him, and it's not It has nothing to do with the ability to sign him to an extension. It's they think they've got one crack at this, and that's where they're going.
Yeah. And, you know, again, it's there's so many variables right now, too, in that if you're already a rich team talent-wise and in terms of quote-unquote contender status, you're arguably more in a better driving position this year because of the flat cap. Teams can't move as much depending on how they're built right now.
Right.
In terms of bringing in new assets. So much like, you know, we talked about the Canadian division this past year, teams there, Toronto, Montreal, really trying to drive up what they could do as much as possible because this was the best path possible to the cup for them with the new divisions.
Right.
It could be similar for a team that has a really small margin talent-wise. This is your best chance to do it because not other teams that might be as close but may not have the assets to bring in the talent they need don't have as much flexibility in terms of money and potentially trade resources.
Yeah. And I haven't done the math on this. You may have. There are so many teams over the cap and so many guys that are expecting to get paid this summer. I feel like this year, more than any other, there's going to be, say, the end of August, early September, there's going to be like a freaking all-star team of unsigned players out there.
Yeah.
Like really good.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Really good unsigned players with no money to go to them.
Right.
Like,
right.
I mean, because teams are really hard up against it. And it's not, it is because of COVID, but it's the cap. It's not their unwillingness to spend money.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You.
Exactly.
Yeah. Allison, what excites you, or let me rephrase that. Mm-hmm. What annoys you least about the next, the next 2.5 weeks? What are you... Is it the first round? Is it the draft? The first round of the draft? Because I freaking love drafts.
You love it.
I love drafts.
I don't mind the draft. The thing is, can we speed it along? Like, just because you have those minutes, unless you're actually doing something,
right?
Let's just please make the pick and get on with it. I mean, I like the results of the draft, but what's hard about the draft is this, right? Like, here's all these new players, and you and I have been at drafts, and it's as much as you want to get to know about these new players, it's really hard to do so.
Yeah.
In the event, so it's kind of like delayed gratification, you know? And yeah, there's all this hullabaloo, and then you're like, well, I don't really get to know this kid, and the kid might not even be there if you were in person for the draft.
Right.
The development camp is a little more, is there a development camp this year? What's even happening?
Well, so what I heard is that there's not going to be one this summer. Like there's not going to be one right after the draft,
okay?
But the NHL is going to give clearance to teams. And this is a while ago. I heard this. I'm not sure if it's still there, but that there's going to be a development camp of sorts in advance of Traverse City.
So
before they go to Traverse City, which I think is the 17th of September,
right, yes.
They would have like that week where they would have kids there. And if you remember, it used, when they first started doing it in the early 2000s, it was like freaking the first week of training camp for the kids. Like they skated them into the freaking ground.
Yep. Yeah.
And now recently it's been more like a morning session and then we're going to do a cooking class.
That's right.
Like it's not that intense anymore. So I think this is going to be, this is what the rink looks like. This is where you'll play one day.
Here's the zoo. Go hit balls at the Cooper Stadium.
Yes.
Huntington Park, exactly. I should say. Yes.
Here's where you're going to play one day, like really freaking soon. First round kids. You get the point here. And on and on and on. So, and then they go to Traverse City. So it would be that week of September. But yeah, the development camp. Real quick, Blue Jackets will pick 5th, 24th, and 31st in the first round.
Yes.
There are only 31 picks in the first round because Arizona forfeited theirs for cheating. The Blue Jackets also have picks in the 3rd, 4th, 2 in the 5th, and 1 each in the 6th and the 7th. A far cry from a couple years ago where I don't think they picked Allison to like 103.
Oh, remember that?
That was unreal. Unbelievable.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, so it's all coming down the pipe here. We'll pause on Thursday for a solemn day of reflection and remember Matisse Kivlenieks. And then I suspect by this weekend, the Blue Jackets will be back and cranking into action again as the NHL summer is going to be tight-packed and intense. Anything else to add, Allison?
Yeah, I mean, just real quick, I had put this out there on Twitter, and I'm sure we'll all be talking about this more as we've talked about after this chapter of time and life in the Blue Jackets world moves on. But the Blue Jackets hired two analytics consultants, Cam Lawrence and Josh Weisbach. For people who don't know them, they came from the Florida Panthers organization, and they are probably two of the smartest people in the analytics space. They've been around since the beginning, honing their craft in what was a very talented inaugural class of Canucks analytic-driven analysts and writers. And their focus historically has been prospect evaluation. So again, if we're looking for signposts in terms of what's about to come, this is one that I consider, but I also think it's a tip of the cap to the organization for bringing in two really smart minds to assist with that this area of hockey operations.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting stuff. And I love Brad Larson's comments a couple weeks ago that it's really hard to build a format right now of what you want or how you want to play, because who knows what's coming? Who knows what this team's going to look like in a few weeks? And then they can start to build out their who we are type stuff.
You're trying to get me annoyed again.
Oh, am I? It sounds like I'm doing a pretty good job.
Yeah. Not you. There. Yes. We can talk about that another time.
Yes, another time. Yeah. All right. Well, here comes the summer, folks. Thanks for thanks for listening. And thanks for being with us. We'll talk to you again next week.